Turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 5. I'll join you there in just a little bit, but I want to give some background to our lesson today on this little light of mine. And our memory verse is Jesus spoke again to the people, and he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And what we saw last week is that when Jesus said that, it was right after the celebration of the Feast of Booths or the Feast of Tabernacles, where the people of Israel commemorated and celebrated God's guidance and his provision and protection for them as they were delivered out of Egypt and walked in the wilderness for those 40 years. Remember, God miraculously provided water for them. And in John chapter 7, on that last day when they were looking forward to the water of heaven, Jesus said the I am statement, I am the living water. And the time when he said it was at the time where the people were praying, God, send your living water to us. And Jesus says, I am the living water. And then in John 8:12, the day after what we saw last week was on the last day of that feast, they would have the illumination of the temple, and they would have candelabras up 75 feet in the air and in the court of the women. And we know this is John 8. Tells us this was in the court of the women. And after all those lights had gone out from the day of festivities of celebrating, God giving the pillar of fire by night and the cloud of light by day, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. I mean, that's a pretty big task. I mean, Jesus was going to save us from, save the world from their sins. But what I don't want us to miss is what happens between Jesus saying, I am the living water, and I am the light of the world. And we have that narrative in John 8, 1 to 11. Right after Jesus took this first I am statement, I am that I am, I'm the God before Abraham, it says Jesus sat down to teach in the temple courts. And the Pharisees brought a woman who was caught in the very act of adultery. Now, it takes two people to commit the act of adultery, but they only bring the woman, and they stand her before Jesus. And we can only imagine, here is a woman that is ashamed. This is in the darkest hour of her day. She has been outed, and she is being used to try to trap Jesus. And they bring her, of all places, into the temple courts, the court of women. Everyone's looking down upon her, and they say to Jesus, the law of Moses says to stone her. But what do you say? You're very familiar with this thing, but I just think the timing is very important. I am the living water. I am the light of the world. And Jesus kneels down and he begins to write in the dust. Now, we don't know, there's been a lot of thought about what Jesus might have been writing in the ground. We do know in Jeremiah 17, by the way, 13, it says, Lord, you are the hope of Israel. All who forsake you will be put to shame. And notice this, those who turn away from you will be written in dust because they have forsaken the Lord, the spring of living water. After Jesus had just said, I am the living water. And they continue to question as Jesus writes in the dust. And then Jesus stands up and he says, you were who was without sin, throw the first stone. And then he kneels back and he starts writing again in the sand. And then he looks at the woman. He says, where are your accusers? After they leave from the oldest to the youngest. And she says, there's no one here left, sir. And there was one person that could condemn her. The one who was without sin. The one who was the living water. The one who was the light of the world and could really expose her for all that she was and all that she's done. And here's what Jesus said. Neither do I condemn you, Jesus declared. Go now and leave your life of sin. What I want to remind you is that in this woman's darkest hour, the light of the world, Jesus, because verse 12 is our memory verse. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will never walk where? In darkness, but will have the light of life. Jesus didn't just come to reveal himself as the light of the world, but to put the light of the world within us, to give us hope in the darkest, most embarrassing, most degrading positions we would find ourselves. Jesus' light dispels the darkness in our life. It dispels the sin and the shame and the disgrace in our life. And I love the fact that as God is mapping out his plan for all of mankind, that all the world was going to come to a saving knowledge through Jesus Christ, his Son, when God reveals the great truth through his Son, I'm the living water. I'm the living water that has been spoken of throughout your journey to God, and I am the light of the world. We see the personal side of our God who comes in to a dark woman's life. And notice this, go now. You see, light dispels darkness immediately. Wherever light comes in, the smallest light begins to dispel that dark area and it penetrates the darkness. And he said, go now and leave your life of sin. Walk in the light. We'll talk more next week about what it means to walk in the light and to live in the light. But I wanted that as a background because as Jesus begins to come now and has his first recorded message for us in Matthew chapter 5. It says that he came, and this is known as the Sermon on the Mount, and he saw the crowd, and then he gathered his disciples around him, verse 2. So this is to his disciples, and he says to them a couple things. You're the salt of the earth. You're the light of the world. He gives them what we call the Beatitudes as well. And we're going to read that in Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 to 16. Would you stand in honor of the word of God? Jesus said to his disciples, you are the salt of the earth, but if salt has become tasteless, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a bushel, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Lord, we come to you and we come to a very familiar passage of Scripture. And Father, just help us to reveal to us, we pray, through your Holy Spirit, the big truth here, the big picture of what you're wanting to accomplish. But just like you did for that woman who was caught in the very act of adultery, I pray your Holy Spirit would personalize this and say, what does this mean to me today in the environment that I am, in the country that I live in the home life that I have, in the people under my sphere of influence? And Lord, help me to be the person you have called me to be and to never walk in darkness, but to be a giver of the light of life in our communities. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. When Jesus begins to teach that we're the salt of the earth and the light of the world, we're going to spend most of our time on the light of the world. But there are some things that we can assume, presume, or actually we don't even have to do that because he tells us that our world is a dark place. If you need salt, and if Jesus uses these word pictures there, here's what he's telling us. In a world of moral decay, Jesus empowers me to make a difference by being salt. And I think I find it interesting that he starts with these disciples in the first teaching that they hear from him. He doesn't say you will be, eventually you're going to become here. He says you are the salt of the earth. In fact, it is emphatic in the original language. You could read it, you are and only are the salt of the earth. Only you. You are and only you are the light of the world. You see, we know that our world is a life, a world of decay, of decline. Life goes from order to disorder all the time. You know, humanism and man-made ideas of how the world came into existence is somehow from disorder, order was created, an incredible design. And yet life teaches us, life does not go from order, from disorder to order. Your laundry, your garden, your kitchen doesn't go from disorder to order without interaction. All of life, our body does not go from order. It is, we are incredibly made. But, you know, I think a lot of us would say the older I get, the better I was. You know, life goes from order to disorder. And you've got to fight back to stem back the tide of things. And what is God's plan for a darkened and decaying world?
It's to shine the light of Christ. Jesus was full of grace and truth. He is the light of life, and he lightens everyone. But also, here's a parallel truth. It is to shine through his disciples' life. It's to stem back the decay and the corruption and the moral corruption of our world through his people and through their influence in this world. You know, salt has five basic functions. It is a purifying effect. It adds flavor. It can bring healing as you put into a wound. It might sting, but it brings healing. It helps create thirst, and it helps in preservation. And if the church is removed, as 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, I believe it is, says, it says, right now the Holy Spirit is restrained from the wrath against man, but it is the church that is stemming back the judgment of God and God working within his people. And when God calls his people into heaven, then God's judgment will come upon the world. And you see the terrible things that happen in the last days. But the way to change this world is to infiltrate it. Here's what Jesus said, through salt and through light. One of the things about salt is once you apply it, it's hard to see whether it's really applied. You know, I think of a pot of potatoes here, you know, and sometimes we have boiling potatoes, and my wife will ask, did you salt the potatoes? Because you can't tell. But if they're not salted, you can tell. Did you forget to salt the potatoes? In fact, it's interesting. Salt that has all those things, sometimes you use it in cookies, right? A little pinch of salt, and you can tell if you don't do it. It works below the surface. It begins to kind of permeate whatever it is involved in. And salt loses its effectiveness, is what Jesus tells us, is when it is contaminated by other things. Salt will do its work, but if it gets contaminated, and for us as followers of Christ, don't get contaminated with the world. You know, there's a lot of stuff going on in our world, and there's a lot of reason to be unsettled. But Jesus, when he sat his disciples down for the first time, did not say the way to change our world is by political involvement. It's not by getting on a street corner and beginning to shout the truth and telling people that are wrong. It's not to out other people's sins. He says, I'm going to do a much more powerful effect of that. I'm going to come into your life, and you're going to be influencing people with the content of your character. That's what the Beatitudes are about. See, salt refers to the influence of my character. See, before he said you are the salt of the earth, he talked about the Beatitude, what we call the Beatitudes. I like the Beatitudes. These are the attitudes that ought to be prevalent in your life as a follower of Christ. You are the salt of the earth. What are those things? Well, those are things like God blesses those who are poor and realize their need for him. When you realize how much you need God, God begins to work greater in your life, because the kingdom of heaven is those that are poor in spirit. God blesses those who mourn, for they will be comforted. God blesses those who are humble or meek, for they will inherit the whole earth. God blesses those who hunger and thirst for justice or for righteousness, for they will be shown mercy. God blesses those who are hearts are pure, for they will seek God. And God blesses those who work for peace or are peacemakers, for they are the children of God. And God blesses those who are persecuted for doing what is right, for the kingdom of heaven is theirs. He said, pay attention to the character that you're developing. And throughout the Bible, we have these admonitions to apply diligence to our faith and to our character. In fact, in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 5 to 8, I have it there in your notes for it. For this very reason, apply all diligence in your faith and supply moral excellence or moral character in your moral excellence, knowledge, in your knowledge, self-control, and in your self-control, perseverance, and in your perseverance, godliness, and in your godliness, brotherly kindness, and in your brotherly kindness, love. Notice verse 8. For if these qualities are yours and increasing, they will render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Here's what I want us to hear. The God who said, let there be light at the beginning of creation, and light was. says, you are the salt of the earth. And I will do more through your influence than you can do trying to go and do things on your own. I will do more. It's the same God who spoke light into the world, forgiveness over your eternity. The promise of heaven says, I want you to be this. And 1 Corinthians 15:33 is a reminder. We recognize it. Again, the way that salt loses its effectiveness is by cross-contamination. Do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals. Salt arrests corruption. It purifies. It heals. It makes things palatable, and it creates a thirst. And the Holy Spirit is working in and through your life, and he does this. And you have an influence in a dark world. Secondly, Jesus says, you're the light of the world. And in a world of spiritual darkness, Jesus empowers me to make a difference by being light. Last week we saw in John 1:5, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness hasn't overpowered it or hasn't overcome it. You know, salt is hidden. You don't always see its effects. It melts away and it does its work on the inside. But you know, it's hard to hide light. You know, light dispels darkness wherever it encounters it. Light's on the outside. The light is open and visible. In other words, salt is the influence of Christian's character. It's quiet and powerful, but light pierces the darkness and it dispels it wherever it meets it. It penetrates and dispels the darkness. You see, it's light that enables us to see. Light goes with sight. It illuminates, exposes, guides, and directs. Light gives life to all of life. And the opposite of light is dark or darkness, confusion, camouflage, gloom, murkiness, shadow, nightfall, death. And Jesus says to his disciples at the very onset of his teaching to them, you and you alone are the light of the world. I'm going to shine into your light. And this light refers to the impact of our conduct. Salt talks primarily about our character working inside, and light is what comes out, what people observe within our life, our actions, our attitudes, our words. And Jesus says in verse 16, so let your light shine before men in such a way that they will see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. You know, the nature of light is to shine. There is no such thing as a light that doesn't communicate. It's there. It shines out. If it's there, you see it. If it's not, if it's out, you don't. Light shines. In Ephesians 5, 8 to 10, you were once full of darkness, but now you have light from the Lord. So live as people of light, for this light within you produces only what is good and right and true. Carefully determine what pleases the Lord. Then I love 2 Corinthians 4, 6 to 7. It says, for God who said, let light shine out of darkness. When did God say that? At creation. Let light shine. Let it be. Light be. Made his light shine in our hearts and gives us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. He put his light within his followers. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show the all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. And as Jesus talks about how you have your light shining, he gives us three ways in which that we do that. He says, shine the light in community. And as he gives us this picture of us being light, he is saying a city on a hill cannot be hidden. A city implies that there's more than one light, right? It's not just this little light of mine, but it's this little. I did notice as you sang that only a few of you picked up. And, you know, when we were kids, I mean, we were knocking people next to us, you know, with letting it shine all over the place. But a city on a hill, you know, when you're driving in a car under the cover of darkness, when you hit a city, the lights are up. And in biblical times, people would put a light in their windows. Listen, when God forgave you and when you accepted that Jesus Christ is God's light to you and love to you, he placed you in a family. It's very clear. Scripture is replete with this truth. And that family is to reflect the light of Christ with all its purity, with all its truth, with all its promise, pushing back the darkness of our world. And that family is the church. Jesus says, the church, I feel so strongly about it, the church, I'll tell you what it is, it's my body. When Paul was on the road to Damascus, and he was there persecuting the believers of Christ, he saw a light from God, and it was Jesus that was to him, and he says, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting who? Me. Jesus, who is the light of the world, and says, we are the light of the world because his light was in us. He said, that's me. The church is my body. It's my representation in this world. And the reality is that one light can make a difference, but lights together can make a greater difference. And our light shines brighter in community, the church. This weekend, I went down to a conference, and we were in Oklahoma City, and on that trip, one of the people that was with me was talking about a conversation, and we talked about the conference. They said we were going to Oklahoma City. He goes, why are you going there? And he goes, well, our church is looking. It was a Celebrate Recovery training thing, and that person who doesn't come to our church but has been here, to my knowledge, 4 or 5 times over my ministry here, says, your church sure does a lot in the community, doesn't it? This week, John Turner and I were able to sit down at the radio station called Us, as they are doing almost every year, wants to talk about Trunk and Treat. And that first segment, if you listen to it, you can go to NCK today if you want to listen to it. The first thing is, we kind of talk about what we're going to do, but the interviewer said, tell me, why is it that your church does so much in the community? Where is that coming from? We have Trunk and Treat coming up, and there's different ideas on how you should respond. But here's what I know. We have, in effect, changed in many ways the way many families celebrate that dark night. It's a fun, safe, family-oriented place. They get a gospel track, but more importantly, they are able to see people within the church and make that connections. You see, when I meet people in the community, I try to find connections with them. I said, hey, do you know so-and-so? Yeah, they come to church here and stuff. And you try to connect that and to shine it. Now, I could do that in 2001, we could have said, we're not even going to turn our porch light on, and we're going to stay within our house on that particular night. The kids are still going to be out on the streets, but I'm just saying, I'm not going to be a part of trying to do anything. Or I could say, I can go online and get my own tracks. And every kid that comes to my house, I can give a track and things. But they don't necessarily know what church I'm going to or where they could go to church. But when we came together, it blows my mind that over 500 kids and their families will be here. And it's made a difference for eternity for some of them. But listen, I'm not just doing for the immediate result. I want some of these kids later in life to say, I remember there was a church that always did things with it. When their marriage is falling apart, when they don't know what's going on, when they feel rejected, and they look back and they say, there was a church that was always doing things, and I haven't given God a chance, but maybe someday I need to. Is it going to happen? I don't know, but it has happened. We are better together. And people have all kinds of hurts and habits and hang-ups, and we all have something to recover from. But we need to be a light in community. John 13, 34 and 35 says this, so now I'm giving you a new commandment. Love each other just as I have loved you. You should love each other. Your love for one another will show the world that you are my disciples. People ought to come and they ought to see how we interact with each other, how we are lead with grace, and how we forgive, and how we treat one another. We know pretty well John 3:16. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I love John 3:16. But we also need to apply 1 John 3:16. It said, if Jesus laid down his life for us, we ought to lay down our life for our brothers and sisters in Christ. And that is a testimony to the world. You shine to the world when that happens. See, Jesus believed this so much. He said in Matthew 16:18, upon Peter's confession that he is the Christ, he said, Peter, that is not just you having faith in me, but I'm going to tell you, I'm going to build my church in the gates of hell. For our purposes today, we could say this, the forces of darkness will not overpower it. Here's what we know about darkness. It doesn't stand a chance against light. Wherever light comes, darkness is dispelled. Jesus says, you're the light of the world and shine in community. Secondly, he says to shine in everyday life. Shine in everyday life. He says, nor does anyone light a lamp, put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. The brightness of a city's light comes from the individual lights within the homes. They didn't really have, you know, big street lights like we have today in Jesus' day, but people lit up their homes, and that's how a city could not be hidden. And as you follow Christ and as you're part of the community of believers, you will add the light from your personal walk with Christ. We say this, our mission of our church is to build a community of believers, a community of believers. Let me say this, we're not the only church that shines on the hill. You know, I heard a lot of good things about the Christian church and then having that meal that they partnered with the Resource Center. And I thank God for the body of believers that are doing. This year at Fall Fest, there were like five or six churches that had booths out there. I love that. I love the people of God getting out in community. But here, I want you to see how this even follows our mission statement. Build a community of believers, shine in community, shine the light in your everyday life. What's the second part of our mission statement? Honor Jesus Christ in your daily life. Listen, if you don't honor Jesus Christ in your daily life, you can't make up for 1 hour a week or one outreach a year to say, we're going to shine really bright now and we're going to live like the devil the rest of our life. It doesn't work that way. And we're going to talk next week about what it means to live in the light. In 2 Peter chapter 2, it tells us that Noah was a preacher of righteousness for 120 years. Look what 1 Corinthians 6:19-20 says. Do you not know that your bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You are bought with a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. How I use this body is of importance to God. It's a light to the world. How I talk, what I value, my priorities are of great importance to God. That's why Colossians 3:17 says, and whatever you do or say, whatever you do, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. So shine the light in your everyday life. We'll talk more about that next week. And then it says here, shine the light in a dark world. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works. You know, the picture that Jesus uses is of light is you don't need light in broad daylight. You need light for the dark places. I keep remembering this joke that I had as a kid, so I guess I'll go ahead and get it out of my mind. It's kind of the opposite of what we're talking about here, but a guy came up on a street corner, and there was another man that was looking over by a street light there, and he was looking for, and he goes, can I help you? And he goes, yeah, I lost my wallet. And so he spends about 10, 15 minutes trying to help him find the light. And he goes, well, where did you lose it? And he goes, well, I lost it down in that dark alley. And he goes, well, why are you looking here? And he goes, the light's better here. Okay? That's a silly joke, I know. But anyway, people want to go where the light is. People need to go where the light is. And you shine the light in a dark world. We're attracted to light. God saved you by his grace when you believed. And you can't take credit for it. You know, he goes, shine your light before men so they can see the good works, your character and your conduct, and glorify your Father in heaven. But don't be mistaken. It's not ever your works that get you to heaven. You don't do good works to shine. You shine, and as a result of shining, you do the good works. That's what Ephesians 2:8-10 says, God saved you by grace when you believe. You can't take credit from it. It is a gift of God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things you have done. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. But we are God's workmanship, his masterpiece, and he created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. Light shines. I find it interesting that Jesus says, don't take your light and hide it. Jesus never says Satan has the ability to blow out your light. Okay? I like the song, but he never says Satan has the opportunity to blow it out. His concern was not what darkness was going to do to the light at all. His concern was that the light that you and I have was hidden. It was covered. You know, a bushel basket was pretty common in those days. It's how they did their work in their activities of life. Don't hide your light in the activities of life. Don't take it and hide it. That's not light's purpose. Light's purpose is to be lit and to be put up so that it gives light to everyone, so everyone can find their way. In Acts 26, 16 to 18, Paul talks about that encounter with Jesus on the road to Damascus. And here's what Jesus spoke to him. Now get to your feet, for I have appeared to you and appointed you as a servant and witness. Tell people that you've seen me and tell them what I'll show you in the future. And I'll rescue you from both your own people and the Gentiles. Yes, I'm sending you to the Gentiles. Notice this, verse 18. To open their eyes so they may turn from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God. Then they will receive the forgiveness of their sins and be given a place among God's people. That's the community of believers right there. That's the church who are set apart by faith in me. And then Philippians 2, verses 12 to 15 says this. And by the way, this is after the great have the same attitude in yourself, which you also find in Christ, that although he existed in the very form of God, he did not consider equality with God as something to be grasped, but he emptied himself and he took on the form of a servant and he became obedient to death, even the death on the cross. Therefore, God has given him a name that is above every other name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow and every tongue confess to the glory of God the Father that Jesus Christ is Lord. Exclamation point, exclamation point, exclamation point. No more needs to be said. But the Holy Spirit wasn't done talking. After that great theological truth that changed your life and mine, he says, dear friends, you have always followed my instructions when I was with you. And now that I'm away, it's even more important. Work hard to show the results of your salvation. Obeying God with a deep reverence and fear. For God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what he pleases. Do everything without complaining and arguing. Let me read that one again. Do everything without complaining and arguing so that no one can criticize you. And notice this, live clean and innocent lives as children of God, shining like bright lights in a world full of crooked and perverse people. The world's dark. The world is getting darker. But you know when the light shines the brightest? In the darkest times. Listen, I'm concerned for our country. I'm concerned about the cultural shifts that's happening and stuff, and it weighs heavily upon my spirit. But I need to be reminded that God said that through his son Jesus, who was the light and the living water and the truth and the way, here's how I'm going to change this world. It's how they changed the Roman Empire in 300 years is being salt and being light. And it's that God has chosen that is how he's going to work. He's going to work through your life, and he's going to have to work through my life, and he's going to work through the congregation of the body of believers. And I think that we need to hang our faith upon that and to say, God, I would have done it differently. God and I talk that way. God, if I were you, I wouldn't do it that way. I wouldn't have picked those two candidates. I wouldn't have done it that way. But God, your plan is going to go on. Because, you know, even Ephesians 2:10 that says we're God's masterpiece, says which God prepared beforehand, before the foundation of the world, that we should do in advance. God's desire, God who works all things together for good to those that love God and are called according to his purpose, those whom, verse 29 says, those whom he foreknew, he predestined to become conformed to the image of his Son. We represent him in this world. And the book of wisdom tells us in Proverbs 4, the path of the righteous is like the morning sun, shining ever brighter till the full light of day. But the way of the wicked is in deep darkness, and they do not know what makes them stumble. You ought to have a heart for those living in darkness. They don't even know what makes them stumble. So God's reminder to us today, in a darkened, crooked, and perverse world, work on your character. Let God's image be impacted and brought into your life. And then shine through your conduct, your behavior, your words, the things that you say. Make a greater commitment to the body of believers. Shine in community by being part of building the community of believers. And shine every day by honoring Jesus Christ in your daily life. And share his love with everyone by shining that light in a dark world. One last thought. When someone's in darkness and needs light, the best way is not to put the light in their eye. They'll recoil from it. But to say, come here, let me show you. And put it down at their path and to say, this is the way to walk. That's the heart of Christ. That's what Jesus did. Then Jesus looked at that woman. And he said, I don't condemn you either. Go now. And don't get past the now. Now you can make a new life. Now there can be forgiveness coming into your life. You see, I don't need to condemn you because you are already condemned because of your sins. God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Go now and sin no more. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the light of your word. Thank you for the promise that not only can we experience those go now moments and not be overpowered by the darkness of our own sin, but the light of Christ can come and shed truth and life and forgiveness and fill our hearts with grace. And Father, help us to shine as lights in a dark and perverse world. Help us to represent you through your Holy Spirit. For the only way this is possible, Lord, is by your Holy Spirit in us. And your concern, Lord, was that we wouldn't get contaminated and lose our influence, and that we wouldn't hide the light that we have, and therefore not be the effect of giving light to others. We thank you, Lord Jesus, in your name. Amen.